What are you doing? There's good news.
It's time again for Donald
Trump.
Theater.
No one knows what is up or down, black or white,
legal
or
impeachable.
Everything is make believe in Donald
Trump.
Theater.
So let's
pull
the
curtain
back.
We are controlling transmission. If we wish to make it louder, we will bring up the volume. We can change the focus to a soft blur.
You're moving into a land of both shadow and substance, of things and ideas. You've just crossed over into...
The things that this show has called him, this approach is, I guess it's kind of like we're living in the Twilight Zone.
We were wondering if you had time to talk.
We have some questions.
A lot of questions. So you know how in Cosmos, Carl Sagan talks about other dimensions, like beyond our world?
Yeah, sure. Theoretically.
Right, theoretically.
So, theoretically, how do we travel there?
Well, basically, there are parallel universes, just like our world, but just... infinite variations of it. Which means there's a world out there where none of this tragic stuff ever happened.
Yeah, that's not what we're talking about.
Oh.
We were thinking of more of an evil dimension, like the Veil of Shadows. You know the Veil of Shadows?
Echo of the material plane where necrotic and shadow magic...
Yeah, exactly. If that did exist, a place like the Veil of Shadows, how would we travel there,
theoretically?
Well... picture... an acrobat. Standing on a tightrope. Now, the tightrope is our dimension. And our dimension has rules. You can move forwards or backwards. But what if, right next to our acrobat, there is a flea? Now, the flea can also travel back and forth, just like the acrobat, right?
Right.
Yeah. Here's where things get really interesting. The flea can also travel this way, along the side of the rope. He can even go underneath the rope.
Upside down.
Exactly.
But we're not the flea, we're the acrobat.
In this metaphor, yes, we're the acrobat.
So we can't go upside down?
No.
Well, is there any way for the acrobat to get to the upside down?
Well, you'd have to create a massive amount of energy, more than humans are currently capable of creating, mind you, to open up some kind of tear in time and space. And then, create a doorway.
Like a gate?
Sure, like a gate. But again, this is all...
theoretical.
Matt, why don't you come on up and tell us about these massive cuts and how they're benefiting your people, your employees, your workers. Thanks, Matt.
Thank you very much. And thanks to your tax cuts, we see continued success in the future.
We're interrupting for breaking news. There is quite a drop happening on Wall Street. A massive sell-off is happening today.
Boy, you turned me inside out and round and round.
Nothing like a historic drop in the Dow to interrupt your big economy speech.
We were doing fantastically. The stock market hit another all-time high.
The stock market is at an all-time high and continues to go up, up, up.
We did, in fact, break 25,000, very substantially break it very easily. So I guess our new number is 30,000.
Had the other side gotten in, the market would have gone down 50% from where it was. 50% from where it was. Remember that.
You're seeing what's happening with the stock market. People are appreciating what we're doing.
The stock market is smashing one record after another.
But today, after last week's stock market drop, which was the worst week in 2 years, the market plunge continued. And at one point dropping more than 1,500 points, it finished down 4.6% after Friday's drop of 2.5%.
Upside down. Boy, you turned me inside.
If we don't change it, let's have a shutdown. We'll do a shutdown, and it's worth it for our country. I'd love to see a shutdown if we don't get this stuff taken care of.
We don't need a government shutdown on this. We really do. I think both sides have learned that a government shutdown was bad. It wasn't good for them. And we do have bipartisan support on these things.
Well, we are not getting support from the Democrats. I mean, you can say what you want. We're not getting support from the Democrats on this legislation.
In the Senate,
well, we'll see. That's one bill. Yeah. We have to get that. They are not supporting us.
Just in the last few minutes from the White House podium, Sarah Huckabee Sanders said the president was not advocating for a shutdown. That's not something that the White House wants. So we're now having another moment where the president and his staff seem to be sending different messages.
So there's the president of the United States saying, I'd love to see a shutdown if Congress doesn't agree to pay for a border wall with Mexico. That's the very same president who said this.
I will have Mexico pay for that wall.
Yeah.
Mark my words.
Mexico will pay for the wall. Believe me.
And who's going to pay for the wall? Mexico, 100%.
And so tonight, Donald Trump would love to, those are his words, love to shut down the government because Mexico will not pay for the wall. That's what this has come to, a Trump shutdown because Mexico won't pay for the wall.
Boy, you turn me inside out and round and round, upside down. Boy, you turn me inside out and round and round.
The head of the CDC just resigned over financial conflicts of interest. The HUD secretary reportedly used his new job to steer business to his son and his daughter-in-law. Now he is welcoming an investigation into that matter. The health secretary already had to resign over his own financial scandal. Congress didn't even blink at that, didn't even pretend to start an inquiry. The interior secretary not only makes some poor sod run up to the roof and fly a special flag whenever he enters his agency's headquarters, his latest scandal is that he's accused of intervening to stop Indian tribes' casinos after he got lobbied to do so by the tribe's rival casino operators, which is the plot of the Jack Abramoff movie, except it's happening right now, and it's Ryan Zinke. The president's son's wedding planner got put in charge of housing and urban development in the entire Northeast. The husband of a woman who does party planning for Trump golf courses, he's a handyman, just got moved into a senior headquarters job at EPA.
Upside down, boy, you turn me inside out and round and round.
We can't take the president seriously or literally anymore. Republicans just got Chuck Schumer to separate DACA from the budget. And now the president is reconnecting DACA in the budget. Anyway, folks, how many times have we seen this? The president says one thing, then we're told not to take it literally or seriously. So whether you're Bob Mueller, Paul Ryan, Mitch McConnell, Chuck Schumer, or anyone else, from world leaders to local politicians, the message is clear. Don't take anything he says literally. The result? Chaos, confusion, and finger pointing.
Upside down. Boy, you turn me inside out and round and round.
The head of cybersecurity at the Department of Homeland Security tells NBC News tonight that prior to the 2016 presidential election, the Russians successfully penetrated the voter registration rolls of several states, though officials say there's no evidence yet that those rolls were actually altered. It seems to me that the Trump forces on Capitol Hill are simply trying to do everything they can to focus on sideshows, to try to come up with anything like the president was somehow in some strange way involved in the Hillary email situation, whatever it was. And we're never quite sure what it was. It was anything. And that somehow he was involved in it when all they had was one of those FBI agents saying, well, he wants to know what's going on. He wants to know what's going on is evidence that he's involved in the email mess, even though he was wants to know come something about what's happening with Russian hacking.
Right, that's right. The president, President Obama, wanted to know about Russian hacking, about Russian interference in our democracy. Of course he wanted to know. This should
he's
have been
president.
And would have been in he's president, a paramount national security issue. Look, these Trump loyalists in Congress, both in the House and now in the Senate, are making fools of themselves, frankly. But this is their game. Their game isn't to convince people like you and people like me who see through it. The game is to keep their base, the president's base, in a pen and in this alternative reality universe.
Upside down, boy, you turn me inside out and round, round, upside down. Boy, you turn me inside out and round and round, upside down. Boy, you turn me inside out and round, upside down.
This scandal, in the end, will make Watergate look like a parking ticket. This makes Watergate like stealing a Snickers bar. This is Watergate on steroids and human growth hormones at levels that would kill the average person.
The country tonight is in the midst of what may be the most serious constitutional crisis in its history. Half an hour after the special Watergate prosecutor had been fired, agents of the FBI, acting at the direction of the White House, sealed off the offices of the special prosecutor, the offices of the Attorney General, and the offices of the Deputy Attorney General. All of this adds up to a totally unprecedented situation, a grave and profound crisis in which the president has set himself against his own Attorney General and the Department of Justice.
The so-called Nunes memo. This is a memo written by Devin Nunes, who's a Republican congressman from California. He's the head of the House Intelligence Committee.
Who is this Nunes? Well, the congressman has a reputation around the Hill for being an overeager goofball who can't see the line between ingratiating and stupid.
It's such a fine line between stupid and clever.
Devin Nunes is somehow still in charge of this Russia investigation in the House, in spite of the fact that he recused himself from the investigation after he got caught sneaking to the White House to share information with the people he was supposed to be investigating. To call Devin Nunes Donald Trump's lapdog would be an insult to dogs and laps. He's not a lapdog. He's more of a retriever. Here, boy, go write me a memo to smear the FBI. Good boy.
Friends of the president tell CNN that Trump sees the Nunes memo as a way to discredit the Russia investigation. Yes, it's like when you're losing at basketball, so you shoot the ref.
I guess I win. There's nobody to tell me I didn't. Now, who wants to be the new referee?
So Devin Nunes recused himself in April, which was the right thing to do. But now that we're in February, he's back. He's unrecused. And he wrote a memo that claims the FBI overstepped their surveillance of Trump foreign policy advisor Carter Page, which, in a very obvious attempt to paint the FBI as biased against Donald Trump and to discredit the work of the special counsel.
President Trump claiming the Republican memo from the House Intelligence Committee that he declassified actually clears him. This memo totally vindicates Trump in probe, he tweeted.
Some Republican lawmakers, they're distancing themselves from the president, saying the memo does not undermine the Mueller investigation. Not at all.
This memo has, frankly, nothing at all to do with the special counsel.
I don't think it really has anything to do with that.
The memo has no impact on the Russia probe.
Not to me, it doesn't. And I was pretty integrally involved in the drafting of it.
Right. He says this memo completely destroys the Russia investigation, which means that Robert Mueller must be fired and also tried for treason. Why not? Yeah? Let's try for treason.
Upside down.
What'd she say?
Upside down.
What?
Upside down. Upside down. Dark, empty, the upside down.
Because here's how our government works now. If your party is in charge, you can lie, you can cheat, you can game the system to benefit your buddies. You can basically do whatever you want. But then when a newspaper digs whatever you did up and publishes a story about it, you don't just attack the facts, you don't just attack the story, you attack the newspaper. The newspaper is biased. Even if the newspaper clearly isn't biased. That Stormy Daniels story, the newspaper that published a report about Trump paying her off, that was the Wall Street Journal. You know who owns the Wall Street Journal? Rupert Murdoch, the guy who owns Fox News, and the first 4 hours of the president's day every day published that story. But that story, according to our president, that story is fake news, even though it was published in a newspaper owned by a man Donald Trump worships and talks to once a week. Even though the source of the story is pro-Trump, we should disregard it because he said we should. That's step one. Step two is when multiple newspapers and news organizations and reporters further an investigation, whatever the investigation, when they report something you don't like, if you're the president now, you don't just attack the newspapers or the news networks, you attack the media. You say the media is biased. You call them the elite media. They're all in league together. Everyone except Fox and Friends is plotting together. Everyone other than Fox and Friends is making things up to try to defeat me because they don't want America to be great again. So they're sitting in their offices coming up with stories about Russians and collusion and obstruction just to get me, and the people who support me believe it. And then once the media is playing defense, you climb another rung. When your problems start to move up to the FBI,
When the FBI steps in and starts sniffing around and handing out subpoenas, now you get nervous. So what do? Same thing you always do. You attack, in this case, the FBI. You discredit the FBI, you discredit the special counsel, you discredit anybody who might possibly come up with information you don't like. And never mind the fact that most of the people you say are against you are lifelong Republicans, like Robert Mueller, who voluntarily enlisted in the Marines to fight in Vietnam, who served as U.S. attorney, who served in the Department of Justice, who prosecuted John Gotti, who was named director of the FBI by President Bush. Robert Mueller is now against you. He turned somehow. Jim Comey is against you. He turned. Rod Rosenstein, who you appointed, turned. They're all somehow part of this conspiracy against you, and you want them out. See, this is what happens when the only rule in your house growing up is, you don't like the butler? Well, we'll fire the butler. And so the head of the FBI, Christopher Wray, said he has grave concerns about the release of this memo. He says the memo is misleading and might even resign if the memo gets released. That's the report we've been hearing. This is not some Obama holdover. This is a man who, according to a very stable genius, has impeccable credentials. I mean, look at this. I'll be nominating Christopher A. Wray, a man of impeccable credentials, to be the new director of the FBI. And now you have a problem with him, but that doesn't matter because now that you've convinced the people who follow you that everyone you say is dishonest is dishonest. The media, the FBI, the Department of Justice, special counsel, if they eventually do start locking up members of your team and of your family, you can say, I've been telling you all along these guys are out to get me. And then you can hand out a bunch of pardons without a citizen revolt because it was a witch hunt. They made it all up to get you. This is basically the same defense OJ used, okay? And it worked. OJ lives in Vegas now and plays a lot of golf. I'm sure where Donald Trump wishes he was. And maybe the most outrageous part of all of it is Paul Ryan, Mitch McConnell, all these guys go right along with it. They will actually help you destroy the credibility of men they know are honest. They will destroy the credibility of institutions that are necessary to the security of this country to get what they want. Paul Ryan is sitting there. He could stop. He's watching all this happen like the ringmaster at the world's most perverted circus. The lions are eating the horses. The tightropes are snapping. Clowns are attacking children. The torch jugglers have set the tent on fire. And Paul Ryan is standing there smiling and waving like an animatronic Forrest Gump.
And if you're just tuning in, we're talking to Keith Nelson from the Bindlestiff Family Circus. You're sort of the spokesperson for Kinko the Clown, who has had several presidential campaign runs. I guess our current president gets called a clown a lot. Is that offensive to other clowns?
It's extremely offensive to me personally. Clowns in general do their best to make the world be a better place and for people to smile at the end of a day. And I don't feel that that's going on right now. We're dealing with a time where people are calling the politics in Washington a circus. Circus, historically speaking, has been one of the most organized corporations out there who goes around the country making people smile and feel better about themselves and the world they live in. I don't see that happening out of D.C. or the White House at this point. You know, I think if the government would actually kind of look at what is happening and how circuses run and used that more as a model, we'd be in a much better place.
But I think it's a disgrace what's happening in our country. And when you look at that and you see that and so many other things, what's going on, a lot of people should be ashamed of themselves and much worse than that.
The memo wasn't a failure. It was a huge success. The memo didn't prove what it claimed to prove and completely lacks substance. The American people don't care about substance. And so what if this memo doesn't do anything to discredit the Mueller investigation in a court of law? That's fine. There are only two courts that matter, food and public opinion. And this memo is dominating in the court of public opinion. After Trump released the memo, Axios reported that less than 40% of Republicans approve of the FBI. More actually disapprove of the FBI. It's getting to the point now where Republicans are watching Silence of the Lambs and rooting for Buffalo Bill. And guess what? You know who Republicans do like? The president. Trump tweeted that this memo totally vindicates him. That's all we need to hear. What do you think people are more likely to read? An endlessly long four-page memo or Trump's snappy tweet about that four-page memo? You think I read Dostoevsky's Notes from the Underground in high school? No, I just read Trump's tweet about it. Crying mole man suffers from ennui, sad. puts thing in a way that I can finally understand, because it's just what I want to hear. No one is going to remember the contents of this memo. You know what they are going to remember? M-U-D.
When you are the president, when you have an ally in the chairman of the House Intelligence Committee, you get to muddy the waters.
The waters are so muddied right now.
Muddying the waters.
Muddy the water.
Has all of this kind of muddied the waters?
Yes, yes, that's right. This memo has muddied the waters. And muddy water is the best water. It exfoliates, it relaxes, makes you calm down and believe the things you already believe. And what I believe is that Trump's innocent. And the FBI is a secret society of Antifa thugs and This American Life listeners trying to take him down. And here's great news. It's not just this memo. Nunes plans on releasing even more memos, as many as 5. And the Democrats are trying to release their own memo to fight our memo. Have I said memo enough times for you to forget that Donald Trump is suspected of collusion? Good! That's the whole point. But why stop at memos? There's all sorts of documents that might vindicate Trump that we just haven't seen yet. Brochures, pamphlets, leaflets, napkins. I bet Devin Nunes has a post-it note somewhere that we could milk for weeks.
Then in a new interview, President Trump stated that he is not a feminist. Was he getting accused of that a lot?
You can work hard, but if you don't have the right leader setting the right tone, in all fairness, I'm not even saying, I am non-braggadocious.
Always using the military, his personal prop is what he tends to do.
And his latest idea about that, and according to reports tonight, is that he wants to have a massive military parade in Washington because he was so jealous of the parade that he saw in Paris and just apparently wants, I don't know, missiles, tanks rolling down Pennsylvania Avenue.
That's the stupidest thing I've ever heard. And the insult it has to these professional warriors, the most humble people you'll find that understand their job is to defend this nation, and they understand more than anyone else what war brings, and they do not want that, but they don't need to show this forward for whatever the president's ego is trying to do. That is a terrible idea. It's the antithesis of everything this nation stands for as a democracy ruled by civilian government, and it's an insult to the professionalism of the warriors. So I certainly hope that the adults in the room stand up and make the case that that's not who we are as a nation. Those are not props for his personal use, and there is no there's absolutely no justification for the Pentagon spending dollars on that. But we could pay him a little more and save the money.
President Trump also tweeted that he had the highest ratings ever for a State of the Union address, which, get this, wasn't true. And this time, even Fox News fact-checked on him. You know you're running your mouth too much when even your hype man is like, yo, that ain't exactly accurate, though.
But you know, the other day, did anybody happen to see the State of the Union address? Right? Okay. So I got good marks. But I said, you have the lowest black unemployment in the history of our country. It was like, it was a game. You know, they play games. And it got to a point where I really didn't even want to look too much during the speech over to that side. Because honestly, it was bad energy. No, it was bad energy. You're up there. You've got half the room going totally crazy, wild. They loved everything. They want to do something great for our country. And you have the other side, even on positive news, really positive news, like that, they were like death and un-American. Un-American. Somebody said treasonous. I mean, yeah, I guess why not? Can we call that treason? Why not?
Senator Tammy Duckworth responded to President Trump with this tweet saying, I swore an oath in the military and in the Senate to preserve, protect, and defend the Constitution of the United States, not to mindlessly cater to the whims of cadet bone spurs.
Mr. President, respect is earned, not commanded. Applause signals approval of an idea, not loyalty to one's country. Our Democratic colleagues love this country as much as we do. To suggest otherwise is simply unconscionable. None of us in Congress pledge loyalty or service to the president. This is not a royal court. Our oath is to the Constitution and to the people.
thanks this week to
Dustin, Mike, Lucas, 11,
and Mr.
Clark,
from
Stranger Things,
Diane,
Ross, Thug, Golden, Earring,
and thanks to
Sarah, Sanders, Shepherd, Smith,
Chris,
Hayes, Barbara, Comstock, Lawrence,
Rachel,
Maddow, Chuck, Todd,
Chris,
Matthews, Evan, McMullen, Sean, Hannity,
Jimmy,
Kimmel, Stephen, Colbert, Nigel, Tufnell, Berman, Trey, Gowdy, Trevor, Noah, Keith, Nelson,
from the
Bindalistiff
family,
Circus,
Jordan,
Klepper,
Michael,
Che, Colin, Jost, Jeff, Flake.
The preceding show was recorded at Wave Farms WGXC in the Hudson Valley in New York State.